Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel teaches Messianic Judaism for all nations, and we would like to be your long-distance congregation. If you listen regularly at BethEmmanuel.org, consider supporting us with regular financial gifts and become a virtual member. Click on the Support tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
I want to begin today in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, by telling you a brief Bible story about two good friends. That is, David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the prince, the son of King Saul, and David was the contender for the throne, anointed by the prophet Samuel to take the throne after Saul. So, by all natural expectation, these two men should have been enemies. They should have been adversaries because they were contenders for the throne. Both of them expected to be the next king of Israel. So they were rivals. So it's a surprise for us when we read in 1 Samuel 18, it says, "The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Rather than adversaries, rather than enemies, rather than rivals, David and Jonathan were the best of friends. They were best friends. Have you ever had a best friend? It's a pretty rare thing. It doesn't happen very often in life, and it doesn't happen to everyone, that's for sure. The biblical friend, David and Jonathan type of friend, is not just an acquaintance. It's not just a pal. The Bible speaks of this type of friend this way. It says in Proverbs 18:24, "A man of too many companions comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And you have three Hebrew words that come into play here. The word for companions is rea, like a neighbor or a fellow, your fellow. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, that guy. And the man with too many pals who comes to ruin, he has too many of these. But there is a friend in ahave, a beloved, who sticks closer than a brother. And so this word for friend, ahave, from the Hebrew word for love, ahava, this is not just a companion, not just a pal, not just a buddy, but someone you have genuine affection for. This isn't just someone to alleviate your boredom or sense of loneliness, but something far deeper. And it says this friend sticks closer than a brother, which is the Hebrew word davak, cleaving or clinging, a word that is also used to speak about a man's relationship to his wife, that he shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And it's also used to speak about a man's relationship to Hashem, that you shall cleave to the Lord your God. And that's the kind of friendship that David and Jonathan shared. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. This type of friendship, that of soul, knit to soul, not a fellow, but a beloved one, a friendship in which the two friends cleave to one another, it implies a covenantal type of relationship. And in the case of Jonathan and David, that covenantal relationship was expressed. It goes on to say in 1 Samuel 18:3, "Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul." He loved him as himself. What was the covenant that they made with one another? They made a covenant, one with the other, to have each other's backs, to look out for one another. And if one of them should fall, to take care of the family of the other. And this is actually the most ancient and basic form of covenant making, which begins in the tribal world of the ancient Near East, in the anarchy of the ancient world, where you could not call the police, and you couldn't rely on the justice system, or you couldn't rely on a life insurance policy. Ordinarily, this type of relationship would have been within the family. It remained where the next of kin has your back. This is the goel, the redeemer. Your redeemer has your back. He has the right and the responsibility of redemption because he's your brother, because he's your uncle, because he's your cousin. But a covenant could enlarge that circle of redemption to go outside of the family. So let me explain. Suppose there's two good friends. Both of them have homes, both of them have wives, both of them have families, and they propose an agreement. If anything happens to the one, the other will avenge him and take care of his family for him, and vice versa. And this is it. This is the most basic covenant relationship, to have one another's backs, to be looking out for one another's interests. And these covenant partners then would be called friends, and they would owe one another an obligation of chesed. That's the word, another Hebrew word, chesed. we translate as loving kindness, chesed, but it means more than kindness, kindness to one another. It means covenant devotion, the obligation of relationship, chesed. They would owe each other an obligation of chesed. And this is what happened in the course of time when Jonathan fell in battle. What did David do? We read in 2 Samuel 9, many years later, we find David asking, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show chesed, the chesed of God, to him?" And they told him about Jonathan's only surviving son, Mephibosheth. And David remembered his covenant with Jonathan, and so he summoned Mephibosheth to come to the palace. And the story is that Mephibosheth was crippled in both his feet. He's disabled. And he's brought before David, and he is afraid. Why is he afraid? He's afraid because he's thinking that King David, of course, has summoned him because he's going to kill him so that there will be no contenders for the throne still alive from the house of Saul. But instead, David says to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you chesed. I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat always at my table." That's what chesed is. Kindness, love, loving kindness, covenant devotion in the form of kindness and the fulfillment of obligation for your covenant friend. It's for your friend. It's for this person that you're in this relationship with. This story reminds me of a story of C.S. Lewis. Lewis served in the First World War, and during his army training, he shared a room with another cadet that he got to know by the name of Paddy Moore. The two of them made a mutual pact that if either was to die during battle, the survivor would take care of both of their families. Well, that's what happened. Paddy was killed in action in 1918, and Lewis kept his promise. He kept his side of the agreement. On returning to England, Lewis took responsibility for caring for Paddy's mother and sister, and he cared for his friend's mother nearly 30 years until she was hospitalized in the late 1940s. The woman suffered from dementia in her later years, eventually moved into a nursing home where she died in 1951. But even then, Lewis still visited her up until that day. He visited her every day in that nursing home until her death. That's the basic idea of a covenant friend. Chesed, someone who will look after your interests, someone who has your back in all circumstances. It's not just a matter of sheer obligation. It's obligation that's born out of a sense of genuine affection, genuine love for this friend of yours, a familial type of affection and dedication and commitment. And this is the type of friendship we should have in mind when in the Haftarah portion, it says in Isaiah 41, the Haftarah portion for Parshat Lech Lecha, it refers to Abraham as my friend, Ohavi. It says in Isaiah 41, beginning in verse 8, "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, my beloved one, whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corner, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off." Now here's what it looks like when God is your friend, when you're God's friend and he has chosen you and he has your back. He says in verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Wouldn't it be great to be in this position that Abraham's in? To have a friendship with a deity where you know this deity has your back? Your friend is protecting you. He's got your back. He's looking after your interests. He's going after your enemies. It says in verse 11, "Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, for I am the one who helps you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Goel, your Redeemer, is the Holy One of Israel." He's acting in the capacity of a Goel, a kinsman redeemer. And this reminds me of another story. And another place in the Bible that it refers to Abraham as the friend of Hashem. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In this story, the righteous King Jehoshaphat gets some bad news. He hears that the Moabites and the Ammonites, the children of Lot, have crossed the Dead Sea. They're already at En Gedi, a day's march from Jerusalem. What does King Jehoshaphat do? He proclaims a fast. He assembles the people in the holy temple. He prays, and he stands before the Lord, and he prays, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the seed of Abraham, your friend, your beloved one? So what's he doing here? He's invoking the memory of God's friendship with Abraham, reminding Hashem that he should show chesed, he should show kindness to the seed of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, to Israel, on behalf of the friendship he had with Abraham. And he goes on to say, and they have lived in this land and have built it, have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before you in this house, for your name is in this house, and cry out in our affliction, and you will hear and save. This is the prayer of the king. And the Lord answers the king's prayer. He does a miracle. What's the miracle look like? Jehoshaphat's army goes out to battle with the Levites leading the way, and they're singing, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His chesed, his covenant devotion, endures forever. Ki le'olam chasdo. When Jehoshaphat's army arrives at En Gedi, they find the Ammonites and the Moabites turned on one another already and slew one another, and the battle's already over. And so with their own eyes, they saw the chesed of God, the chesed that he had for his friend Abraham, and on the battlefield, that chesed looked like the spilled blood of the Ammonites and the Moabites. And the relationship between these two passages, both of which refer to Abraham as God's friend, is don't be afraid. God will protect you and defeat your enemies. He's your redeemer because you are the children of his friend. So God wants to show Israel chesed because of his love for his friend Abraham. And the children of Israel are the descendants of Abraham. And Jehoshaphat reminds Hashem of that friendship, the chesed of Abraham, his friend. And remember, we are the children of Abraham, your friend, he says. And your chesed endures forever. Ki le'olam chasdo. And this is the meaning of the words that we pray in the first blessing of the Amidah, where we say, V'zoker chasdei avot u'mei goel livnei v'nehem. He remembers the chesed, the devotion of the fathers, and he brings a redeemer to their children's children. He remembers Abraham's chesed, so he reciprocates by showing chesed to Abraham's children and his children's children, bringing a redeemer, bringing the Messiah to redeem them. That's what we pray in the Amidah, first blessing of the Amidah, three times a day. Abraham, the friend of God, and the relationship it entails between God and Abraham's children, this is called the merit of the fathers, the merit of the patriarchs, the merit of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it illustrates our relationship with God as well through the merit of our master Yeshua, because our master is a friend of God, so to speak, like Abraham, in that he is the beloved son, the beloved one on whom the father's love rests. And that is why we pray in his name and act in his name and place faith in his name and believe on his name, just as Moses did, just as Isaiah did, just as Jehoshaphat did when they invoked the name of Abraham, God's friend, asking God to show them mercy and chesed for the sake of Abraham. Likewise, in the same manner, we ask God to show us chesed and answer our prayers in the name of Yeshua for the sake of his friend Yeshua, his son Yeshua. So in that regard, we can be like Mephibosheth. We can receive a place at the king's table. Now, why was Mephibosheth welcomed at King David's table? He was He was welcomed to the table because he received David's chesed on the merit of the chesed that the king had toward Jonathan. The merit of David's love for Jonathan, his friendship with Jonathan. Likewise, as disciples of Yeshua, we can receive a place at the table of Hashem on the merit of the chesed that Hashem has for his son Yeshua. And this is why there is forgiveness of sins in the name of Yeshua. This is why there is an adoption of sons and daughters into the family of God in the name of Yeshua. But it is a two-way relationship, and this is where we miss the opportunity for relationship with Hashem. Everyone expects God to be their friend. We expect God to have our back, to look out for our interests. And in fact, when things go badly, when we have setbacks, problems, sickness, disappointments, we are angry with Hashem. We're apt to be angry at him for failing to do his job. Isn't that how we react? Like, where were you, Hashem? You weren't supposed to let anything bad ever happen to me. Of course, that's not how things work. That's not how Hashem runs the universe. But it's typical of us to have this level of expectation of him that he should act as a friend to me. But then I should ask, to what extent am I acting as a friend to him? Do I have his back? Am I looking after his interests? Am I caring for his family? Am I clinging to him? Am I cleaving to him? Am I the friend that sticks closer than a brother to Hashem? Because that's who he is to me. That's who he is to you. He is faithful, even when you are unfaithful. He is watching out for you. Even when you're not watching out for him, he's keeping you, even when you're not keeping his commandments. Your Father in heaven desires to draw you into a divine friendship, to be your best friend, to be the one that you cling to. The Torah says in Deuteronomy 13:4, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. And likewise, he will cling to you. But how do you cling to an invisible friend? How do you cleave to an invisible friend? How do you have a best friend who transcends time and space? And the answer is, we do this through cultivating that friendship with his holy son, who is the image of the invisible God. As he explained to us in John 15, beginning in verse 10, it says in John 15, beginning in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So in this passage, our master explains to us that as his disciples, observing the mitzvot, keeping the commandments, we are no longer just servants, but as his disciples, through him, we have been elevated to the level of Abraham, to the level of friends. This is what he's saying to the 12 disciples at the last Seder. He says, he has our back. He's willing to lay down his life for us as a friend would do for a friend. We are looking out for his interests. He is looking out for ours. And he draws us into the sacred union of love that he shares with the Father, that he derives from the Father. He says in verse 14 of John 15, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So this friendship goes both ways, with obligations going both ways. On his side, he has laid down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this. And likewise, we are to lay down our lives for him, which, short of martyrdom, looks like obeying his commandments, the greatest of which is that we should love the Lord and that we should love one another. So he goes on in verse 15. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The way a friend would not withhold a good thing from another friend. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And in this way, through our love for one another, our fidelity for one another, we express our love and our friendship for him, just as David's love for Mephibosheth was actually an expression of his friendship for Jonathan and his chesed towards Jonathan. And the Master's love for us, that he laid down his life for us, is only an expression of his love for the Father. Who wouldn't want God as a best friend? Who would not want Yeshua to be a friend? But practically speaking, this friendship, which is a two-way thing, has a practical expression that looks like love for others, that looks like love for his children, love for his creatures. And this is how we experience and deepen relationship with God, that we should be lifted up and elevated to the level of friend, like Abraham, the man of chesed, who showed kindness and love and covenant devotion. And we should experience what it is to be loved by God and to love God through our love for others, and especially our love for one another.
Take on my yoke and learn from me, and find rest for your soul.